Hello and welcome. You are blessed and you are loved by the one true God who loves you, cares for you, and never lets you down. Welcome this morning. It is June the 24th, and we're going through a daily devotion as we read the Word of God. It is alive. It is powerful. It is rich like gold and silver. It is sweet like honey, and it will empower you in order to know who our Lord our God is, who never lets us down, and who always points us towards the right direction. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for planting the seeds of the gospel and saving more souls by sharing this video. We are still in the hospital right now, day two. And wow, day two. So June 22nd, June 23rd, day three actually, June 24th. Actually, we came on June 21st. So it's day four in the hospital. And so right now I'm just chilling here. Last night I got, according to my time, it shows that I got 1 hour, 1 hour 25 minutes of sleep. It actually says 35 minutes, but I'm still here. The show must go on. Hello there, hello, welcome. I'm so glad you guys are here. May God bless you, be with you. We're so excited to get into the Word of God today. It is on 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 13, on the promised victory. The promise of victory. And when you live through life, don't you want to win battles, win victories, win wars, and win the things, win that life? Yeah, don't you? Well, the Word of God promises victory. So let's read into the Word of God. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 13. Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What do we have to do with each other? Go to the prophets of your father and your prophets of your mother." "No," the king of Israel answered, "because it was the Lord who called us three kings together to hand us over to Moab." And Elisha, he said, "Surely as the Lord Almighty lives, who I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you or even notice you." And verse 15, "But now bring me a harpist." While the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he said, "This is what the Lord says, make this valley full of ditches. For this is what the Lord says, you will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water, and you, your cattle, and your other animals will drink. And this is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord." Hey guys, welcome. "And he will hand Moab over to you." And so we praise the Lord, for he is good. And he endures forever. Praise the Lord. Woo! God is good. He's in charge. And so, verse 19, "And you will overthrow every fortified city and every major town, and you will cut down every good tree, stop up all the springs, and ruin every good field with the stones. The next morning, about the time for offering the sacrifice, there it was, water flowing from the direction of Edom, and the land was filled with water. And now all the Moabites had heard that the kings come to fight against them, and so every man, young and old, who can bear up arms was caught up and stationed at the border. And when they got up early in the morning, the sun was shining on the water. To the Moabites across the way, the water looked red like blood." "That's blood," they said. "Those kings must have fought and slaughtered each other. Now to plunder Moab." And when the Moabites came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and fought them until they fled. And the Israelites, they invaded the land and slaughtered the Moabites. They destroyed the towns, and each man threw a stone on every good field until it was covered. And they stopped up all the springs and cut down every good tree. Only Kir Hareseth was left with its stones in place. But men armed with slings surrounded it and attacked it as well." Hey, you are still on the screen. Yes, you are. Yes, I forgot, but praise the Lord. Anyways, and then verse 26. When the king of Moab saw that the battle has gone against him, he took with him 700 swordsmen to break through the kingdom Edom, but they failed. And then he took his firstborn son, who was to succeed him as king, and offered him as a sacrifice on the city wall. The fury against Israel was great, and they withdrew and returned to his own land. Wow. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for saying hi, and thanks for being part of this journey. And we know that God is good, and he is alive, and he is well. And there's no doubt that he got good plans for you all. Well, here I am. I need to do something real quick. Well, I got a stuffy nose, but it's okay. This is what happens when you're on 1 hour of sleep. But the show must go on. We're going to go into reflections. Listen carefully, because the reflection actually really helped me. And I know it's going to help you. So enjoy, buckle up. There's two reflections here today. Unexpected provision and then hope for our brokenness. Unexpected provision. During this time, the three kings united the king of Israel, King Jehoshaphat, and King of Edom. And then they unified in order to go against the Edomites, who were rebelling against him, who was going against them. And then, as they were marching against the Moabs, they were marching through the terrain where there was no water. And their soldiers, they were thirsty. They were on the brink of collapse, of being dehydrated. And so, what did Jehoshaphat do? He was a righteous king, and he decided to walk in the ways of God and to seek the prophet Elisha, who was there. And so, welcome. I'm so glad you're here, and so glad you guys are able to hear the word of God. And so, there's unexpected provision. And when you walk in the ways of God and seek him first, then he will always provide for you. Pausing their advance upon Moab, the three kings, they speak with Elisha about their plan, about their problems. And through Elisha, God promises water and military successes, and the water will come miraculously, appearing without the wind or rain. Elisha affirms that such miracles are easy for the Lord. It's so easy for the Lord. And he also prophesies that the kings will overthrow every city and the town in Moab. Without such a prophecy, anyone would assume that three kings were doomed and there would be no one expecting them to win against Moab when they were about to die of dehydration. Yet God and his goodness and his mercy provides his example. We are reminded that we can trust in God's promises and that he can easily accomplish them. And so when you say Jesus forever and you seek Jesus first in your life, then he will provide you with everything that you need. Amen. And so praise the Lord. God is so good. He's so merciful. He's rich in glory. He's all powerful. He's not lacking at all. He's got everything under his belt. You see, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, he said, "Earth is mine." In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created earth. It is his. He created each one of you. And so God is not limited to heaven or earth. He is bigger than that. He cannot be boxed into time, matter, and space. So is it easy for God to bless you? Absolutely. Absolutely. Number two, hope for your brokenness. When the Moabites were deceived into entering the campsite, the Israelites and Edomites ambushed them and advanced into Moab, destroying the towns as Elisha prophesied. And we may feel uncomfortable about God decreeing such violence and destruction. However, we must understand that sin left unchecked gives rise to unimaginable evil. And this is so clear in the Moabite king's action that he sacrificed his own son in hopes of gaining favor to win the war. God is holy, and therefore he has to punish sin with destruction. But because of the loving sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you now have the grace to repent of your sin and to receive this eternal life with him. So do not take his grace for granted. Because he saved you. Because God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You shall not have this death of eternal life, eternal destruction, eternal ruin, because he loves you so much, and he sent his one and only begotten Son to die on the cross for you after living a perfect life that you cannot live, and dying a death that you deserve, yet he paid for your sin. And so, don't take this eternal life for granted. Don't take this relationship with God for granted. For it was paid with 39 lashes on his back, paid with him being mocked, ridiculed, paid with him giving up his divinity, giving up his glory to come from heaven to earth so that you can go from earth to heaven, so that you can have a relationship with our one true God, with our Lord, our Savior. Amen. And so let's look deeper into this. As they were going into invade the Moabites, who were evil, who turned against them. Well, they were desperate because they were thirsty. If they are thirsty without water, then they would dehydrate and they would die. Their animals would die. Their people, soldiers, would die. But when they seeked the prophet of God, Elisha, Elisha was able to speak upon the people and say, because there is King Jehoshaphat amongst you who is righteous, who worships the one true God, God will have mercy on you. That's the power of association. When you are associated with righteous people, with people who love the Lord, who walk in his ways, then you too may experience God's glory, God's wisdom, and his provision. And so, don't forget to be in a community that loves the Lord, that builds your faith up, that allows you to grow. Amen. So guys, this was the first nationwide ministry of Elisha. And God was using this particular war to show the kings of the world that Elisha was appointed and a replacement for the great prophet Elijah. And hereafter, the kings of the world were to deal with Elisha, looking to him as God's major representative and prophet to whom they should listen to. And Elisha proved his ministry by proclaiming the word of God and the promises of God to the kings. And this was the task of Elisha. And he proved faithful to the task. Boldly, and even sternly, he rebuked King Jeroboam for his false worship and idolatry. And then, following the rebuke, he sought the face of the Lord and proclaimed a wonderful promise of God. This is the task of every prophet, every preacher, every teacher, and every minister of God to proclaim the word of God, the Bible, and his wonderful promises to the world in war, conflict, strife, turmoil, distress, pressure, and pain, to the world that is gripped by a spirit of false worship, idolatry, hopelessness, lawlessness, and violence. Every servant of God must bear this strong testimony and witness to the promise of God. God's promise is so good. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will protect you. I will provide for you. I'll give you wisdom, understanding, knowledge. I'll give you the Holy Spirit, and I'll give you eternal life, salvation through the Spirit of the Lord, through Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. You got to testify with your story of how these tests, these trials, and tribulation, the test, turns into a testimony. How the mess in your life, how God transformed that into your message of how true, how great our God is. Wow. Bear this strong testimony and witness that He is the one true God. Proclaim His word. This is the duty of every believer, every minister, and lay person alike. And this is the forceful command of God's holy word. And this is the fundamental proof of a person's call and ministry, and that a person is a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20. It says, "Go therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever that I have commanded you to do. And lo and behold, I will always be with you to the very end of the earth." Wow. He's with you in the cancer. He's with you in the childbirth. He's with you in the trials, tribulations. He's with you as you face your giants, just like David. He was with David as he faced Goliath. He was with Daniel as he went into the lion's den. He was with the disciples as they went into the storm. He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they went into the fire, burning furnace. And He's with you wherever you go. This is our God. He's with you to the very end of the earth, with you to lift you up and bring you into somewhere better. And then Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, "And He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Preach. Acts chapter 5, verse 20, it says, "Go, stand and speak to the people in the temple and the whole message of this life." You are called to preach, to teach, to be a light in this world. You're called to be the salt of the earth, to preserve the earth, to bring God's love here. Amen. You have a purpose, and your purpose is high. It has meaning. It has eternal meaning. And we're here to save more souls, because the souls live on forever. And when you say yes to Jesus, then you will have eternal presence, eternal life in Christ. But if you say no to Jesus, then you will have eternal separation, eternal ruin and destruction in your life. So choose today to follow one true God. Follow the Lord our God, who never lets us down. You see, wars are not a surprise. Jesus said, there will be rumors of war and wars everywhere. But do not be surprised. Do not be alert. We may go into World War III, but I doubt that they want to go into that. I know that we are the salt of the earth, and we come to preserve the earth. You are to speak up against this injustice, against war. You're not to be divided, but united. You're not to say one party and the other, one country and the other. No. We are to say, no more. We come to be unified in the name of Jesus, unified in the Lord, and to walk in the ways of God all the days of our life. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "But sanctify Christ as the Lord of your heart. Always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." That's my baby right there, who's crying. Can you hear him? Can you hear him? So I was awake all night with him. Got 1 hour of sleep with him. But by the grace of God, the show must go on. Amen. So we must continue preaching no matter what. We must. Yeah. Glory to God. Okay. Now, next part is, just as God has promised Israel and its alliance, they defeated Moab, and God met the desperate needs of the alliance exactly as He promised. The scripture really talks about it. Let's see how much of the sound you're picking up. Oh, not that much. Maybe I should face it. Well, that's a 2-day-old boy. Baby panda. Actually, it's three. 3 days old. No, this is the third day. Because yesterday was the second day. Today is the third day. Third day. He's moving his head now. And then he's actually getting more sleep now. When he first was born, he did not get any sleep at all. But now he's actually sleeping for 2 hours. And by the grace of God, he will increase in his sleep. So the victory over Israel, of Israel over Moab, God fulfills his promises. And you know, God has promises for you. And he has promises of a life that is good, a life that is of his wonders. Yeah. A life that is, let me focus. Lord God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. I thank you for everyone here under the sound of my voice. I pray over blessings over them, that they understand the word of God and that the Holy Spirit speaks to them. And Father God, there is no doubt that you are in control. You are in charge. We pray for Baby Pan, for our family here, and for your wisdom as we continue navigating through challenges of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. And the promise of God fulfilled. Flash floods, it filled the valleys of the hills, even though there was drought, even though people were getting dehydrated. But God still promised through Elisha that there was going to be a flood. And the army of Moab was mobilized and stationed at the southern border. And the fatal mistake of the Moabite forces was that they saw the sun shining on the water in ditches, mistook it for blood, and concluded that the coalition armies have turned against each other, killed each other. So they rushed into the plunder and seized it, to take it by greed. And the coalition rushed out, attacking, scattering the Moabites, sending them fleeing for their lives. And the invasion of the Moabs by the Israelite coalition slaughtered the population, destroyed the major cities and the land to prevent resettlement. And the Moabites, yeah, it was covered. Covered the fields with stones, stopped up the springs, cut down the good trees. This is what happened. Just like God had promised, just like Elisha had predicted. They attacked the Ker Haresheth, where the Moabites made the final stand. And the Moabite king's strategy to turn back the invaders was that he encouraged 700 swordsmen to break through the coalition line defended by the Edomites, the weakest force. And he offered his son as a human sacrifice in sight of all to appease and remove the anger of his false god. And the withdrawal of the coalition due to a passionate fury rising against Israelites. Wow. Everything unfolded just like God promised through his dear servant, Elisha. Flash floods in the hills flowed down the valley, and the ditches they had dug by the soldiers were filled with water. There was no question, Elisha was the prophet of God, and the kings had clear evidence of his appointment by God. Hereafter, the king were to look to Elisha as God's messenger and prophet. And at some point in time, border guards stationed at the Moabites along the southern border spotted invasion led by the force of Israel. And they were able to get word to the Moabite officials that an alliance led by Israel was launching the southern assault. And as quickly as possible, the Moabite kings mobilized a citizen armed by drafting every man that was able to bear up arms, positioned them on the southern border. But the Moabite army made a fatal mistake. They arose in the morning. They saw distant the sun shine on the water in ditches. And they thought that the Israelites turned on each other, that they killed each other, they implode on each other. And they rushed into the scene to plunder the riches and gold. But they failed. And instead, they were trapped. And they fled in all directions. And they were destroyed. And so note, what can you learn from this? You can learn that God fulfills his promises. He did exactly what he had promised through his dear servant Elisha. in Elisha's call, ministry was validated, proven by the fulfillment of God's promises. And God will do always and exactly what he promises to you. The unconditional promises of God will take place and nothing will stop them. Other promises have conditions attached to them. If you meet the conditions, God will fulfill these promises as well. If a person walks righteously before God, seeking God and trusting God, God will work in that person's life and fulfill every promise that he's ever made. Listen to what the scripture says about God's promises. Number one out of five, God's promises are unfailing. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56 says, "Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people, Israel, according to what he promised. Not one word has failed at all. His good promises, which he promised through Moses, his servant." Wow. Do you know promises of God? Promises of God is found throughout the Word of God, throughout the Bible. And that's why it's so important that you read the Word of God for yourself, so that you can discover the promises of God that is unfailing. What God says will always come to pass. So you can trust in him, walk in his ways, and build your life upon his firm foundation. Number two, God has the power to do what he promises. You see, God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wealthy, all-glory. He's got all wisdom and everything. He's all-present. He's got everything under his belt. He knows all things. He sees all things. He's not limited by anything. And so his promise, he's got the power to fulfill his promises. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 to 21. It says, "Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully assured what God has promised, he was also able to perform." In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that you ask and think of it, all and above and exceedingly above all that you can imagine, according to the power and works within us." Amen. Wow. And then number three out of five, God's promises are great and precious, of infinite value. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, "For by these he has granted to you his precious and magnificent promise, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world by lust." So you see, God's promises are great. He promises Abraham to be his shield, his protection. Promises Abraham to be a great nation. Not just a nation, but a great nation. And then there was Jacob, Isaac, and the great nation of Israel. King David, King Solomon. Wow. It's got infinite value. Number four, God's promises are rooted in Jesus Christ and reach their summit in the gift of eternal life. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That's John 3:16. John 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, "For as many are as are the promise of God, in him they are yes. Therefore, also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us." Wow. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. It says, "The promise which he himself made to us, eternal life." He gave us eternal life. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any pain, for the former things have passed away." Wow. No more sickness and disease. That's the promise of heaven. That is the promise for you. That's the promised land that we look forward to. And then number five, God's promises have one primary purpose, to work all things out for the good of the believer. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says, And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, for a momentary light affliction is producing for us, for you, an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Wow. So the promises of God, that's just 5. You can find even more. You can find even more. So you got to read the Word of God for yourself. Let's look into application questions, because it is good. You can hear my story, and I can also reflect. And you can reflect on your own story, too. Number one, what promises of Scripture do you find difficult to trust, and why? Well, one is that, actually, I trust in all of God's promises. Faith is actually my strongest trait. So I believe everything that God says, everything that I learn from Him, that the Holy Spirit leads and teaches, everything. There's no doubt. No doubt about it. Because He's already brought me out from the darkness, out from complete isolation and addiction. He brought me out of the darkness into His light when I did not deserve it. And so, He's been faithful in the past. He's faithful today and forevermore. And that's why I have no doubt that the promises in the Scripture that Jesus says will always be fulfilled. And I have no doubt that it will bless you, that it will give you strength, and that it will point you towards the right direction. And then why must God severely punish sin? You see, God is holy. Being holy, without blemish, without sin, without any darkness inside, this is our God, who's so powerful. Our Creator, our love, our God, His wrath against sin. He hates sin, and you are to hate what God hates. Love what God loves. You are to live according to His will. So, God is a just and fair God. And He already said sin. Sin has no part of His kingdom. If He lets sin into His kingdom, then His kingdom would be contaminated. But that's why we absolutely must love what God loves and hate what God hates. Hate the sin and delete the sin and try to get rid of it. Flee from it. Resist from it. Resist it. And number 4, how can you discern if you're taking God's grace for granted? Well, you see, are you praying every day? Are you reading the Word of God every day? Are you building His community, His church? Are you having a relationship with Him? Are you doing so? Giving thanks? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Are you doing that? Are you giving thanks to Him every day, in every circumstance? Are you praying to Him continually? Are you rejoicing in the Lord? If you are, then great job. Great job. Amen. So, hi Lily, welcome. We know that God, He wants peace. And He wants people to walk in the ways of God. Walk in the ways of the Lord. And we know that He is the one true God. There's no one like Him. So let me pray for us as we wrap up. Dear Lord, I thank You for this wonderful day. I thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your promises coming to pass. That You are faithful yesterday, today, and forevermore. And that we can trust in You all the days of our life. Lord God, we know that everything on earth is temporary, but everything that is unseen is for eternity. So Lord, I pray that we dedicate our souls to You, our time to You, our energy to You, because You have given us far more abundantly than we can ever ask for. Lord, we just praise you. Praise you every day of our life. And Lord, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that you provide for them, you protect them, you allow them to experience more of you and to see your grace, your mercy in their life. Lord, I pray for wisdom, understanding, knowledge upon them so that they can hear your word and experience more of you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, thank you for being here, checking us out. Thank you for subbing, like, subscribe, and following. It really helps the channel. And we know that God is in control. And so Lily says, I love you, your videos, and your love for God. Praise the Lord. We're all trying to point each other back to God to save more souls and to be part of his kingdom. So thank you for joining me on this journey as we do daily devotion every day, because God is real, God is true, and he never lets us down. Amen. And he is for you, not against you. He wants to bring you out of the darkness. And so we love Jesus. Amen. We can share his love. He loves you first. He paid for your sin. There's no greater love than this, but one to lay their life down for another. And that's exactly what Jesus did. So turn to Jesus today. Let him be your Lord and Savior. Say Jesus first forever, forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, may God bless you guys, and may you see more of him in your life. And may you experience his wonders, his grace, his mercy. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. Pan out for now. Glory to God. I'll see you guys next time.